If you have your copy of God's Word this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Exodus chapter 2, I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture this morning. And, you know, as we honor mothers this morning, as I said before, I have to guard myself at times because I think sometimes we take for granted the godly heritage that mothers have in our lives, and that at times we can take for granted the godliness that God has put in our life. And, of course, this morning, I'd like for you to pray for my mother, my biological mother. She is in a nursing home. She has cirrhosis of the liver. She has lung cancer, and she is 74 years old. And, of course, her body is breaking down, of course, through many things. Now, I love my biological mother, but there was a time that she was not a part of my life, the early places of my life. But when I was 8 years old, God sent a stepmother into my life that had an incredible impact in my life. She literally saved my life. I believe that. There's no doubt in my mind that that is the case. And, you know, sometimes you can, you forget how good God can be to you. You can look at the negative side of life at times, but you fail to realize some of the things that God does do for you. And even though the early years of my life, I did not have a mother in my life, it was like God restored those years. That's why the Scripture says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restoreth my soul." And so God can restore what the enemy takes. And that's what God did. God restored what the enemy had stolen in the early aspects of my life. And I don't want to go into all that this morning. I just want you to know that as a son today, I'm appreciative for the mother that God sent into my life. I'm thankful for what God has sent into my life. And so you ought to be appreciative too of the mother that God has sent into your life also. In the book of Acts chapter 2, I want to read a few verses of Scripture here, and then we'll get right into the message this morning. I have to be honest with you. Can I be honest with you this morning? Mother's Day is a very difficult day for me to preach. And it's not because I can't find something to preach. It's not the difficulty of finding something to preach. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure why it's a difficult thing for me. It's just a tough day. It's a tough day and because you just have so many things going through your mind. You have so many emotions that go through your mind. And so it's a difficult day to preach. It's hard to find a silver lining. So would you pray for me this morning as I preach that I could encourage the body of Christ this morning and that God would strengthen me this morning? Because many times as a pastor, I felt, well, maybe I'll just have a singing group come in or maybe I'll just have somebody else come and preach. But, you know, as pastor, I need to be preaching on Mother's Day. And so, but even though it is a difficult, you know, holidays in general are difficult to preach because one is because at times you have so many visitors at times, and you know you have to you feel like this sense that you have to kind of be good, you know, watch what you say. I can't act out, you know what I mean? I can't get too loud because people think I'm mad. I can't get too, you know, because I don't want people to get, you know, that preacher's crazy and all that. So, you know, we kind of have this, you know, holidays, we kind of get this reservedness about us at times, you know. So I just want to put that out there because I want you to know you can be free this morning. It's all right to be free, and it's all right to allow God to do the work that He wants to do this morning. Book of Exodus chapter 2, I want to read a few verses of Scripture beginning in verse 1. "And a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark and a bulrush for him, dabbed it with him with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river banks. His sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And she opened it. She saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women?" And she made nurse the child for you. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. So Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take the child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So that the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Napoleon said that the future destiny of a child is in the work of a mother. Of course, today is one of the most special days of the year. There are more calls made in the United States today than any other day. More than Christmas, more than any other holiday. Cell phones are used more. Phone calls are made more on any day, other day, than today. Today is the most telephone day there is. In the culture we live in, in a world that lives on telephones, I don't know how it can get much busier than the world we live in. But I heard a story about a wealthy son. He decided he was going to send something special to his mother. So he went to this pet shop. He thought he'd get her a nice pet. So he went to this pet shop, and he saw this very expensive talking bird. And he thought, man, this bird is incredible. Matter of fact, what made the bird special was that the bird could whistle Amazing Grace. He said, "That's amazing." And then not only that, could the bird whistle Amazing Grace, but it could quote the 23rd Psalm. He said, "That bird is incredible. What do you want for that bird?" And the pet owner said, "Well, it's a rare bird, and it's rarely trained. And if you want that bird, it'll only cost you $30,000. He said, "Well, Mom's worth that." Money was no object to him. So he bought the $30,000 bird. He had the bird shipped to his mother, thinking that that would be a great present for her, because she loved the Word of God. She loved God. And that it was something that could just live on and live on and live on. A few days later, he calls his mom on Mother's Day. He said, "Mom," he said, "how did you like the bird I sent you?" She said, "Son, it was the most delicious thing I've ever eaten in all my life." Everybody in here knows a mom that would do that. There are those that are out there. I can't even imagine. Abe Lincoln said it like this: "No man is poor who has a godly mother." St. Augustine's testimony in his memoirs said, the great church father of old said, that his mother Monica was the reason he came to the foot of the cross. Mothers have great impact. When I think about the mother of Samuel, Hannah, who was barren for many years and cried out to God in prayer and asked God for a son, God answered her in prayer and God gave her what she had desired. Timothy, who was a great son of the faith to the Apostle Paul, Timothy's mother and grandmother had great impact in his life as a child. Matter of fact, we were not sure that Timothy's father was even a believer, but believed that he came to know the Lord because Timothy was trained and had a great impact from his mother Eunice, as the Scripture says, had a great impact on his life and later became the right-hand man to the Apostle Paul. There's a mother that I want to talk about this morning that may not be as well known as some others in Scripture, and yet she becomes a tremendous encouragement to every mother that's in this place. When you begin to read her story and you begin to dive into the Word of God and begin to see that how this mother had reacted and her faith in God, her strength that was torn to her God. Matter of fact, in this chapter, her name is not even mentioned, and if you want to know her name, you can find it in chapter 6 and verse 20. Here in the Exodus, as we read this, we see that Jochebed was her name. It means, "The Lord has surrounded me with glory." Isn't that a great name for a mom? that the Lord has surrounded me with glory. What a great name. Matter of fact, how many would say that your mother, that you would say that God has surrounded your mother with great glory? It's a great testimony. Jesus tells us this story. The writer of this book honors his mother in this book. The book of Exodus was inspired and written by Moses. He enshrines his own mother in the pages of the book that he was inspired to write. You will see in a minute how important that is. The tremendous faith she displays is an encouragement and a challenge to every mother in this service this morning. We'll learn some things about Jochebeth that we can take and hold on to this morning, that you as a mother can hold on to this morning and find encouragement in. And there are some words I want to use this morning to help us understand the message of this wonderful mother that we read in Scripture and her incredible faith and trust in God. First of all, there's a couple of things I want you to see about her. As I read the story, it's probably very familiar to some of you and many of you as you've read it before. But first of all, I want you to see the distraction that she faces as a mother. The distraction that she faces. Children in Israel came down into the land of Egypt, and Joseph was there. And back in Genesis, when the children of Israel, when Joseph was on the throne, or Joseph was a part of Pharaoh's court, Jacob had brought his whole family down into Egypt, had brought them down into Egypt, and that is where they began to multiply. Matter of fact, for years, archaeologists struggled to even place the children of Israel even in Egypt. Recently, I read an article in Archaeology Today that said they're finding tremendous amounts of evidence that the children of Israel was in Egypt. Matter of fact, if you look through the pharaohs and through some of the pharaohs who ruled, it's very hard to find Joseph in that lineage. Either he has been taken away or taken out of the history of the Egyptian kings, or just dismissed altogether. But they're finding great evidence that the children of Israel came down into that land and settled there. And after many years, they begin to multiply. One of the things I find is interesting is that there's great evidence now that they're finding in what's called the Gulf of Akbar, which is where they believe the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea into Saudi Arabia. And they're finding all these evidence. And it was just interesting, this article, because they had pictures of chariot wheels that had been surrounded by coral. And there's been bone that's been found. There's been all of this evidence now that is coming out that the children of Israel was there. It's a fascinating thing. But it's a time when all of the people, when all the children of Israel came down into Egypt and they began to multiply. They began to multiply. And all of a sudden, the Bible tells us in Exodus 1, there rose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph, the Scripture says. There was a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. In other words, there was a change, the circumstances, a change in the atmosphere and the environment for the children of Israel. All of a sudden, Joseph, who had been a great part of the children of Israel's history, now is dismissed, and a Pharaoh who did not know him, who knew not Joseph. Joseph was a type of Christ. When you study his life, you see that there's aspects of Joseph's life that is a type of Christ. But here you have a generation of Egyptians who knew not Joseph, as the Scripture says. I don't think God puts anything in Scripture that does not have an important significance. That's significant. What the correlation is I'm not sure, other than the fact that in relation to the hour and the day we live in, that we kind of live in a generation that knows not Christ. Or knows not Jesus. And so the correlation is that the children of Israel, it's like their history had been wiped out. And there came this cultural attack on the Jews, a cultural attack on Israel. It was like they were not allowed to have a history. They weren't allowed to have a tradition or to have heritage. Now, if you have a Christian mother this morning, you know the value of having a Christian heritage. You have a tremendous heritage this morning. Egypt was a pagan land. There were many kinds of gods that they worshiped, different types of gods in Egypt. Matter of fact, the Egyptians at that period of time had a very low regard for human life. Very low regard to human life. I begin to think about that and begin to read that and begin to say, wow, that's not much different than the hour we live in. I believe we live in the day when we see this cultural shift, when we see society going from a morally based society to a principle based society. In other words, there's this transition now where years ago, people made decisions in their life based on the moral foundation, on the moral foundation of biblical principle. But now it has shifted, and that has changed, and it's a principle-centered world that we live in. It's kind of like the shift that was taking place there. There was a transition, a changing, a shift that had taken place in the area and in that realm. Egypt looked at human life as being cheap. There was just this disregard at times for human life. Matter of fact, Pharaoh gave a decree, and his decree was is that any child of Israel that was 2 years and under had to be thrown into the Nile. There was an edict that they would be fed to the crocodiles into the Nile River. Interesting how an attack, when God gets ready to raise up a deliverer, it always seems how interesting it is that a nation begins to attack children. We've seen it in Jesus' time when he was being born. What did Herod do? He raised up an edict that said that any child that was 2 years and under would be destroyed. And so there's this low regard for life. And, you know, I'm not here to debate politics, but here, I'm telling you, as we see society and I see some of the things that have gone on in our culture, I can tell you there has been a lessening regard for human life in the culture we live in. That's why we have a hospital where mothers can go and give birth. And for many months in this city, there were more children that were born that were addicted than there were children born that was not. It's an interesting thing. The low regard for life, the disposal of human life and the regard, the value that humanity has. I want to tell you that Jesus has always put a premium on human life and the value of human life. And so it was a cultural thing. It was an interesting thing. It was an attack to minimize the people of faith. That background that Moses was born into. Think about, now listen, think about how that impacted Jochebed. Here she is with child. And here she is giving birth to a child. And she's giving birth into a world that has a low value and has low human value for human life. Now think of how that would impact her to hear the news that every child born, every son that was born 2 years and under where she lived would be thrown into the Nile. Would you not think that that would be a stressful pregnancy for her? Would you not think that that would have an impact on her in the way and how she viewed? Listen, this thing, there was a distraction that came into her life. This distraction of how society was viewing what was in her and what she was ready to give birth to. As I began to think about that, I could not even imagine what a mother would go through bringing up a child in a society that had little regard for human life. Burdened to raise a son into that atmosphere. Bring a son into that atmosphere. Now Moses had two siblings in front of him. He had his sister Mariah, who was 15, and a brother Aaron, who was 3. And here she is bringing another son. And I could you imagine giving birth and a child coming into the world is supposed to be a joyous occasion. It is a joyous occasion, right? Because I see how you grandmas and grandpas act when that baby's born. I got to look at 9,000 pictures of your grandchild on Facebook. And it's interesting, some grandparents need to learn how to use Facebook. You don't post one picture at a time. That's not how it works. So you have this news feed of 7,000 direct pictures. And there's always this message from the child to the mom. Mom, that's not how you do it. Stop posting pictures. It's the difference in a generation. But it's a joyous occasion. Is it not? Is life not a joyous occasion? When there's a birth of a child, is it not a joyous occasion in our lives? And here what was supposed to be a joyous occasion became a distraction in her life. It became a difficulty. It became something she had to work through. It became something that was supposed to be a time of joy. It became great anxiety in the midst of her life. Her son or child, at that time, she did not know he was a son, was being born into a society that regarded human life very low. And that if it's a son, he'd be in great danger. You know, I begin to think and I pray for our young couples and young people in the hour we live in, a time of great anxiety in our country. It's amazing some of the devastation that has come out of the atmosphere of the culture and the world we live in. In other words, it's like just like every child or son that was thrown into the Nile, that crocodile-infested river. It almost seems like every child that is born comes into a world into a crocodile infested world that's just waiting to consume them. We see it in our culture, how it takes children and wants to consume them. It's amazing. But the truth is, just as in her day, as it is in our day, there is a cultural war that is going on. A fight for the minds and souls of a generation listen, and it all began since the time of Daniel when everything that regarded to faith was tried to be silenced. Everything in regard to faith today is trying to be silenced. And it's just like in that day when Pharaoh said, look, the Hebrews are becoming too many. They're becoming too strong. There's too many of them. We've got to do something. So they attack a generation that would have an impact. And we don't see it as direct as it was in that day, but we see it subtly as it seeps through our culture. As faith-based communities are attacked, the faith-based things are attacked and are considered outdated and not valuable in the culture we live in. Families who homeschool are criticized because they want to raise their children in a way of understanding that education can be mixed with the Word of God. There is a correlation. Criticized for putting their children in Christian schools or criticizing because parents have convictions about certain things and culture treats them like they've got some kind of disease. I'm here to tell you that there is a crocodile-infested world that is waiting to devour. The enemy wants to devour our children. It's not a time to retreat. It's not a time, but it's a time to push back and say, there is the truth. And so it's a difficult time, as it is in our world. 9 months, Jochebed knew the penalty of what it would be if it was a boy. Pharaoh, he attempts to dislodge God from their culture, from their moral values. It was an attempt to displace God. Jochebed gives birth. Listen, could you imagine the day that she gave birth and the midwife who was helping her as Moses was being born? And here is Jochebed through all the birth pain, through all the birthing process. This is this distraction that is on her mind. What will I do if it's a boy? What will I do if it's a son? I live in a culture that has devalued life. How do I respond to it? And the baby is born and the midwife takes that baby in the hand, begins to clean that child up, and I could imagine what the next words were. Jochebed looking to that midwife and saying, is it a son or is it a daughter? The midwife, in response, looking and saying, you've given birth to a boy. That moment, she knew that the son she gave birth to was in danger. His life was being called for by a hostile nation. The birth of a child into a family is born into the midst of a hostile culture. Who could imagine? Already laid claim on his life. There was a distraction that she faced it. And it's real today. I'm telling you, I admire parents today. What they have to battle. What they have to overcome in the hour we live in. It's a real thing. It's a real struggle in our culture. And it's a real battle. But one, the distractions she faced. Number two, the determination that she displays. Listen, all of a sudden, sometime between the moment when she gave birth and she knew it was a son, and in the back of her mind knew that his life was required of him. But somewhere down inside her, something rose up in her as a mother. It wasn't something she learned. It wasn't something, but it was something that was God-given. Woven into the creation of who she is as a mother. Woven into the fabric of what God designed her and created her to be. Inside that motherly nature, that thing that was put inside her, began to raise up and say, this society is not going to take what God has given me. It was just like there was this determination that began to rose up in her. It was just like all of a sudden it would just rose. And the scripture is interesting. You know, nothing is more beautiful than a godly woman who has strong convictions. As many of you know, let me tell you, godly women are not afraid of pharaohs. You hear what I'm saying? Godly mothers are not afraid of pharaohs. Godly mothers are not afraid of hostile cultures. Godly mothers have a determination that God has put in them. And why in society are we trying to change what God has created? Why are we trying to make it different than what God created it to be? It's interesting. You read this verse of Scripture and you begin to see. So the woman conceived in verse 2 and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now, it says she saw he was a beautiful child. It's interesting. It's an interesting word here. It's an interesting word in the Hebrew. She saw that he was a beautiful child. Some translations even say he was a goodly child. It means a pretty baby. There's the natural meaning, which means he was a handsome baby. Matter of fact, Josephus said that in those days that many had gone out to get men who were working to come see how handsome that Moses was. Now, Moses wrote the book of Exodus. Do you think that he's going to put in there that he was ugly? If I had to write the book about myself, you know what I'm saying? And Shane was born and he was handsome. The only thing that saves Moses is that the scripture is inspired. Other than that, we'd have to question his motive there. I don't think he had a complex, but it could be questioned. Acts 7:20 says it like this, says that Moses was exceedingly fair. The word means separated, special to God. We know that all children are special, separated to God. But this Hebrew word, at the root of its meaning, is more than just looking pretty. It's more than just looking upon as seeing beauty. We get the root word favor from it. It's the word valuable in estimation. It's a word that means looking upon with hope. Isn't that a great word? When she looked upon Moses, she not only saw that he was a beautiful child. Now, I've seen pictures of some babies that are born. And they go, is that not the most beautiful baby you've ever seen? No, it's not. They're red. They're wrinkled. They got puffy eyes. Their heads are all crooked. Except to a mother. But a mother looks at that baby and she sees what? She sees immediately the value that's in that child. The estimation of its value is immediately seen. The favor that's on that child is immediately first seen by a mother before it's ever seen by anybody else. But the word actually means, it literally means to look upon with hope and favor. Listen, every child that is born, everyone who is born into this society, listen, you don't cast off any. There is a destiny that God has on everyone. That is why we are not to pass judgment on children, pass judgment upon. That's why, well, I'm not going to go there. The circumstances made no mind. She was determined that she was going to fulfill. Listen, when she got a look, it was already probably in her that she was going to fight for his life if it was a son. But once she saw him and saw the favor of God on his life, she said, Pharaoh is not getting this child. We have to look at our children. When we look at our children, something about a mother that can see inside children that others can't see. They see a hope. They see a destiny that at sometimes what we see in the natural may not look like it's going to work out. But a mother never loses that hope of the destiny that's in that child. She'll stand with that child when everyone else runs away. A godly woman will. A godly mother will. It's an interesting thing. In other words, she determines, listen, she determined that this child is not a burden to my life. This child is not an inconvenience to my life. This child is not an obstacle to my dreams or an interruption in my life. And part of the attack that's on children today is that we live in such a selfish society that we've made our children and we made a generation to feel that they are an inconvenience, they are a burden, they are an obstacle to who we are, they're an interruption to our lives. And I want to tell you the greatest, well, none of us, all of us were born with a destiny. And the child knows his mother has him and there's that energy of hope. Listen, when my mother was not around when I was little and up until I was 8 years old and I was passed to a grandmother and to this one and to that one, and at times I would spend time with my dad. But when my stepmother came into my life, I remember a particular instance, a moment when I knew God sent her to me. I didn't have that faculty. I didn't say in that faculty, oh, God's given me. But it was a moment in my life when I knew she was sent by God. When I knew there was something different. I remember I was in third grade. I was 8 years old. And we had transitioned to a different school. And I'd gone to this school and it was the first time there. And so my stepmother had taken me and she took me into the school, and here I am 8 years old. I have this new mother, this new mom, this new stepmom that's come into my life, trying to sort all of that out and where that falls and how that falls in my life. We walked into the school, and we're in the principal's office, and she's registering all of us for school. And I remember the receptionist behind the desk. She said, are you his mother? She said, yes, I'm his mother. And then the lady said, well, are you his biological mother? She said, sweetheart, just put down there, I'm his mother. See, it was like a wind. It was like a fuse of energy that gave purpose to my life because there was somebody who believed in me and somebody who I knew was going to be an advocate for my life. There's nothing that's more valuable than a mother who comes alongside you and believes in you when you're not sure you believe in yourself. It's not a relationship that's based on circumstances of what you can do for me or what you cannot do for me. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how bad in life your life gets, when others look at you and say, he is a failure, she's a failure, a mother can still see the beauty of that child from the moment they were born and know that there's a destiny that God has in them, and if no one else will stand, there'll be a mother that will stand. Thank God for godly mothers, because there's something in them that's greater than themselves. The Bible said that she hid him for 3 months, hid him from Pharaoh. Then it came to the place to where all of a sudden this difficulty. Listen, she hid him for 3 months. She hid him for 3 months. There was a sheltering. There was a protecting that she tried to protect him with. And there was a protection that she tried to engulf around him. I keep thinking of that scripture when we think of children. It says, train a child up in the admonition of the Lord. And when they grow old, they shall not depart from it. There's a difference between training and teaching. The difference between training and teaching is it's training is showing, teaching is telling. And a lot of times, if we're training our children, I've seen mothers teach their children. That's training. But God wants to train our children. Show, it means to show. Now she resided to the fact that she was going, in other words, that all of a sudden, if she did not do something, he would be consumed in the now. Now I can see that determination. I can see that all of a sudden, I'm sure there were tears. I'm sure there were prayers. I'm sure there was all of these seeking guidance from God. Do you imagine that in those 3 months that she cried out to God? You imagine in those 3 months as she hid that child, there was this calling out to the Father, this calling out to God, this calling out to God, that God, this child you gave me, he's my son. I see favor on his life. I see beauty that's in him. This mother protected him, and she cuddled him, and she cried out to God until she no longer could hide him. Man, I began to think about it. I thought, man, what a process, that determination that it took. You know, I noticed this week that the roses out in front of the church begin to bloom. Isn't that beautiful out there? Those roses. But guess what? Those roses just didn't bloom. How many know those roses have been cultivated? How many know, you know, somebody's been putting fertilizer on those roses? There's somebody that's been cutting those roses back. There's somebody that has been spending time on those roses, investing in those roses. Those roses just are not wild out there. They just don't wild. It's somebody who's invested in them. That's what a mother does in a child. She invests in them. A child doesn't all of a sudden become God. It's the investment of a mom that can come into a child's life. And I want to tell you today, we live in a world and society. I'm not too sure that the scales are not tipped in Pharaoh's favor. I do know this. I know children will love what you love. I know children at times will carry the convictions that you carry. You have a great impact in your children's life. Mothers have even a greater impact in their children's life. But all the bombardment that we have in our society and all of the bombardment that comes upon their lives, Pharaoh is trying to tip the scale and removing the influence in a child's life from you to society. But a determined mother will never let that happen. A determined mother is determined that she's going to do. She's going to keep her son and daughter out of the crocodile-infested waters of the Nile. Here's what she did. When she could not hide him any longer, the Bible says in verse 3, it says she built an ark, or she made an ark of bulrush. Bulrushes, it's a plant. It's an interesting plant because I got to seeing this and I thought, oh my goodness, this is an incredible plant. It's a plant that no longer grows in Egypt, but now only grows in Palestine that you can find. It's very rare. But it's a form of plant of papyrus. But here's what's interesting about it. This papyrus that she made in the Egyptian days is what they made. It's what they made garments out of. It's what they made shoes out of. They even made tools out of it. Matter of fact, they would skin it at times and lean it and let it dry, and it would be what they would write on. Matter of fact, it was even used at times to be made. They would make spears out of it to do what? To prod crocodiles and hippos in that day. Here, a mother, in the symbolism of the Old Testament, in a type and shadow of what Christ is for our life, makes this ark for Moses and places him in this ark, and it's made of this papyrus. It's made of this bulrush, and what it is, it's a plant that absorbs moisture. It does not allow moisture in. And then at the moment when she had to, when the moment she could no longer hold on to their child, she put him in the Nile. But when she put him in, she made sure that he was protected. And I want to tell you that we can't hold on to our children all our lives. We cannot, there will be a time when they have to be released into society, when they were released into a world. But what we can do is we can build an ark that surrounds them, that covers their life, that can be an absorbent to the... Listen, the crocodiles would not attack that. Why? Because they knew that it was a substance that they were not attracted to. I'm telling you, godly mothers have a way of putting hedges around their children that protects them from a Pharaoh world. Mothers have the determination to wrap their children in prayer, wrap their children in things that absorb and absorbents that keep the enemy away, that the dangerous waters that they release them into, called this world. A mother has the ability to keep them safe under her love for God and her prayer and her dedication to God. What a powerful thing. What a powerful thing. I'm telling you, I began to think, I thought, man, Lord Jesus. I want to tell you, the greatest thing that you could ever do is to lead your children into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear me. More than clothes, more than gifts, more than provision of their life, the greatest thing a mother can do is lead a child to Christ and to share Jesus and be an example of Christ in the life of a child. What does that do? Listen, let me tell you my beef with the church. Can I do that for just a second? Give you just a beef, my beef with the church. That we have lost the importance of investing in children. We've lost that. We want to throw them in a back room, put a felt board up with paper mache's of Jesus, and tell them stories that they don't even understand. Instead of teaching them, training them, investing in them. And that's why we need to build an ark around our children. We need to build something that absorbs the crocodile-infested waters of this world. You need to, listen, as a mother, you need to pray for your children daily. You need to pray for them. Why? Let God work in their life. Listen, you can't always go with them. You can't always be where they are. There's a moment when you have to release them. Listen, do you realize how much trust it took for Jochebed to let that basket go and put Moses in the hands of God? There's a moment as a mother, there's a moment as a parent, you have to release that child into the hands of God. That's why we dedicate children. You know why? Because there's a point in our life that says, God, when we can't take care of them, you do. It's not just some religious ritual that we do down here just to make people cry and make families happy. No, we're building an ark around a generation where there's a shark-infested world that wants to gobble them up. And if you've got a mother or grandmother that's praying for you, let me tell you something. You don't even have a chance. I don't know why you're running. But you don't even have a chance. My grandmother would say, when I was in high school, she'd pray for me before I died. And she'd say, Shane? She'd nob that head with that little double hitch. I knew there was a word of wisdom coming when I got the double hitch out of the head. There was a moment of correction. Remember, whatever you do, wherever you go, God is watching. It was like a hex that was put on me. Because anytime I was messing up, I heard them words, Shane, God is watching. So when I would smoke dope, I wouldn't have visions of like getting high. I wouldn't have these visions of like euphoria, you know, being out. No, I saw visions of angels, of Jesus, godly things. I couldn't even get high without having my grandmother's voice in the back of my head. Listen, that's what a mother can do. She can invade a world that you live in. She has has the ability to call down heaven into the places. Listen, she'll understand when no one else will understand. And I'm telling you, we look on children, we look on men and women, and we say they have no chance. I'm telling you, as long as they're breathing, there's a God that can hump them down. And I want to tell you, if there's a mother praying for them, you might as well surrender. Tap out, baby, because you've already been in a chokehold. You might as well just give up. It's just a matter of time. Huh? It's just a matter of time. Because God answers prayers of moms. God answers the prayers of moms. God answers the prayers of moms. And there may be moms that are here this morning and you're praying for children. You're praying that God has their best for them. That God would invade them. I want to tell you, listen, that's why it's important that we build a children's church here that's second to none. Not in the spirit of where we draw people because we got smoke machines or pizza parties, but because we draw kids because we know we're putting an ark around them. That's why we're invested in it. Not, listen, here we will invest in generation and young people. We will do that. You know why? Because in every classroom on Sunday morning, there's a Moses that's sitting there waiting to be revealed and waiting to rise up. You say that child's a stinker. Well, he may be. But when God gets a hold of him, he goes from a stinker to a leader. And God can do what men can't do. And I'm telling you, it's a tragedy. And what we're allowing our children to be invested in. And what we're allowing to invest in our children. And I want to tell you, most of society don't see it, but a godly mother will see it. That's why I say to you, it's important for you this morning to understand that if you have a godly mother, you have a godly heritage, you better be grateful for it this morning. I'm telling you, I would have given anything to have had a godly heritage, to have had a godly mother. Now, my stepmother provided for my life. And I want to tell you something. She was a rock and an impact in my life, but she lacked the spiritual. But you want to know something, how God restores that? How God, you know, every church I've pastored, God has given me mothers who have loved on me. Isn't that awesome? How God will put people around you to help replace what the enemy has stolen and taken from you and whatever the devil tries to steal from you. I'm telling you, I pulled in here to the parking lot last summer. Now, y'all may think this is flaky, but I don't care. It's my story, not yours. I pulled into this parking lot last summer. I pulled up in my car, and all of a sudden, I look out, and there's four women that are standing right out by this little yellow car. And I knew one of the women, but I did not know the other three. And I'm thinking, what's going on? What are they here for? So I get out and I recognize the one lady and I said hello and hugged her. And these other three women are standing there looking at me. They had these eyes. I'm telling you, it's like, uh-oh. It was like I was at the principal's office. It was like I was in trouble. It was like the message my mom would say. Y'all don't, see, my mom, I love my mom. I want to tell you something. My mom put a ring around my neck and brought me into submission. It's what I needed in my life. I'm telling you right now, you don't want to mess with my mom. My mom, y'all hurt me, you got to fight her. I'll just send her over here. She's 5'2", but I'm telling you, she's packed. She'd give me a look. I'm telling you right now, Jesus, the fear of God, all of heaven, every angel got in me, made me straighten up just like that. It was a look. It was not. She didn't even have to say a thing. I went home one day. I told her, I said, Mama, they're treating me bad at school. I was the king of getting whipped at school. They sent this note home with me that they want to have a parent-teacher conference. So before I gave the note to my mama, I wanted to give her the story so that I could have some defense before she went into school. I said, Mama, they're treating me bad. They don't like me. Them teachers are against me. I'm not as bad as they say. You know, Mama, you know I obey you. Mama, you know. You know I would never do anything like that. I had her so mad at the teachers. I had her so mad at the school. Why? Because the natural inclination is when a child is being mistreated or a child is being mistreated, the mother wants to, it's mama bear, man. It's time to put on the Hulk uniform. She's going to go straighten things out. I thought, man, this is going to be good. I'm going to be exonerated. We're going to go get ice cream afterwards. We're going to go get Skyline Chili afterwards. It's going to be a great day with my mama after she tells all the teachers off. And so I give her that note, and she's like, you know, I got to take off work. Now, it wasn't a thing where it was putting her out, but I want to tell you, my mom, for many years, walked to work. She walked 8 miles to work and 8 miles back. That's not a story. She walked across the Ludlow train bridge every morning at 5 a.m. because she didn't know how to. She didn't get her driver's license until she was 36 years old. And my dad finally made her get it. But she'd wake up every morning, walk 8 miles to work, walk 8 miles home. She's tough, man. And when we got home, everything had to be in order. Y'all don't even, I don't even want to. So we get to school. I'm all puffed up. This is my mama. She's going to tell that teacher, spanking me like that, putting that paddle on me. She walks in, she turns around, looks at me, and she says, you stay here. I thought, man, hey, mama, I'm innocent in this. You don't be so mean to me. She walks in, she's in there for 30 minutes. I'm like, come on, man. My mom's not a talker. She's just a doer. Like, you know, there's not these long lectures. It's either punishment or exonerated. And she comes out after being with them teachers. And the first thing she did was grab me by the back of the head. Walk me out of the school. Just like that. I'm like, that hurts. That hurts. Oh, honey, you ain't heard nothing yet. Oh, enjoy this walk because this is the best walk you're going to have for a long time. No, there was no ice cream that day. Here's the point I'm making. She loved me, but she had loved me enough to know there were certain things and behaviors in my life that could not be tolerated. Why? It's the training of a child. And God honored that. At 68 years old, she gave her life to Jesus. And for the last 6 years, I've had the privilege of having a mother that loves God. When for all those years, I had longed and wanted a godly mother. Now I've got a mother who texts me scripture and put things on Facebook. And I have to say, Mom, that's not how you do it. You don't put it on Facebook like that. But she loves God. She reads the Word every day. She's not perfect. She's by far from perfect. But I want to tell you something. I'm privileged that God would be so gracious to me. That what was stolen from me for many years, in these latter years, God has restored back to me. Everything I desire. Stand with me if you would this morning. My message to you mothers this morning is never give up on what God is doing. Never take for granted the impact that you have on a child's life or the impact that you continually to have on a child. And I think men, there's times when we don't appreciate what our wives do, the motherhood of our wives. I'm thankful for my wife. She's a great mother. An awesome mom. And she loves her children. Believe me, she's kept them from so many beatings. She's been the firewall. I got a redhead down here laughing. He knows. Listen, we're living in a Pharaoh-infested society. It's trying to do away with the value of a mother. Trying to neutralize society. Pinning men against women as though there's a competition. Desiring women to be men and men to be women. When God's not created you that way. He did not create you that way. Listen, you can change the outside of a person, But when God's biologically designed you, that's who you are. That never leaves you. There, I don't care. You can put a suit on, call yourself Johnny when your name is Joanne, all you want. But the biological clock that God put in you, there's still a desire to be a mother. There's still a desire to have the emotions that a mother has. Why? Because God intricately designed you. And our culture has tried to pit men against women and made this thing. Listen, we're designed differently. We're made differently. But we're not made to be competitors. God made us to be one. And to come together as one. And work as one. God had put specific things in each of us. It doesn't make the other sex better than the other sex. It makes you more unique and more valuable in life. And a man, listen, there are some men who have to step in and take the role as a mother at times. And I value those men. There's mothers who have had to raise children and had to be a fatherly influence in their life because dad bailed out. And I believe there's a grace that God gives people for that. Thank God. But there's nothing greater. There's nothing more important and foundational to a culture than a mother. Being a mother and being who God designed her to be. Hallelujah. Because when she prays, all of heaven opens up. Because there's a tenacity in her. Perseverance that at times can be lacking in the life of men. I want you to do something. I want you to grab the hand of the person that's next to you. Join hands together this morning. There's no doubt in my mind that in these last days, God prophesied to Malachi, said He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and the sons to the fathers, the hearts of the daughters to the mothers, and the mothers to the daughters. It's a sign of the last days, move of God, generational move. We're seeing pockets of it all over the world. You see in West Virginia where there's 1,800 young people piling every night in a West Virginia high school field, worshiping God, absolutely transforming a whole city. Four high schools are being transformed by the move of God. Guess what it started with? It started with a mom. Listen, it started with the mother of a youth pastor who opened her home up while she brought kids in. This youth pastor began to pray with kids and the mother served them. Brought them kids into her home. And now for weeks, hundreds and hundreds of teenagers gather together and there's this onslaught of worship. And this whole city and town is transformed. Crime has gone down. Drug addiction's gone down. Parents are getting saved. Churches are being filled. It's an unbelievable thing. I'm telling you, God in these last days is getting ready to raise up a generation. And I'm telling you, I believe in them. I believe there's going to be a last days move. I can't wait till the Holy Ghost begins to start wildfire spreading all across this nation. Transform us! And I'll tell you, right in the middle of it's going to be moms who just believe that God can do anything with their children. Father, we thank You for our mothers. We thank You for the hands that we hold. Lord, there's many things that You could graciously bring upon us this morning. You could shower us with gifts. You can shower us with provision. You can shower us with great jobs. And You can shower us with relationships with people. But there's never a greater example of the grace of God in a son and daughter's life than his mother. And so, Lord, bless the hands that I hold. The person that's on my left and on my right. Lord, I pray that You will bring a provision to their life, an understanding, God, of the value of mothers and the value of what You do in the lives of mothers. Lord, we pray for every mom that's in this room. We pray that there would be an energy of faith and strength that would come in to her in moments that are moments of distraction, just like Jochebed had, where she had to release her child into a crocodile-infested Nile But Lord, she knew that she wasn't just releasing them into a Nile. She was releasing him into a destiny and into the hands of God. Let every care that every mother has, every silent prayer be answered today. Lord, may you meet the need. May you touch and meet the need and the cry and prayer of every mother, every grandmother. Prays over her grandchildren. Who steps in moments when their children have shown lack of responsibility and they stepped in and been a covering for their child. Like my grandmother was. Who held the role of stability. And so Lord, we pray as we leave today, we leave with a gratefulness in our heart for all that you've done in the lives of mothers. And we thank you, Lord, for every mother that's represented here. For Lord, we celebrate them today. We celebrate their children. We celebrate their families. We celebrate their husbands. We celebrate all of the unity of the body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord. We will never, never dismiss the importance of mothers in our lives. Lord, for we know that they are wonderfully made. They are wonderfully designed. They're meant to be mothers and nothing else. And we thank you, Lord, for that. So we lift up Jesus. We promise to serve our generation. Let Jesus be known in the city. For we believe a people that a city can be won. And we thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you give the Lord a great big clap offering this morning? Do me a favor. Before you leave, I want you to find two or three moms. And I want you to give them great big hugs and tell them thank you for all that they do. God bless you. You're dismissed this morning. Hallelujah.